Hello and welcome to episode 251, part 2. That's right, we're doing a good old-fashioned re-record, but we'll get into that in just a minute. I'm one of your hosts, Casey Gibson, and joining me this fine evening, it's the man hailing from the land of corn, but he's also the Jimmy who uses a Mac. Typical Mac. That's Mr. Perry Burkham.
Did you know that 60% of sandwiches sold around the world are either hamburgers or cheeseburgers, making them the most popular sandwich on Earth?
That sounds like some sort of ploy to get off the Mac talk and you ruining the show. No.
The biggest one ever made was 2,014 pounds, including over 60 pounds of bacon.
Man, that's a big old bun, I tell you what.
Yep. Well, no, the bun was regular size.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of buns, we're also joined by our third permanent host. I almost said permanent guest.
Okay, we have to call him permanent guest.
It's our permanent guest,
That's
Triple B,
amazing.
Mr. Alex Galafi.
I have nothing to say to that. That's our not me. I have nothing to say
so
to that.
So funny, dude. That's so funny.
The permanent guest. There it is. That's his tagline.
Just don't funny, include me in the NWR articles because I'm a guest.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know what? If nothing else, we got a good little nickname for Alex there out of this re-record.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Yeah,
to,
Alex
to
like,
lose
I
status.
This.
As the one who didn't lose the podcast.
Okay, so this is what happened.
You know, it's funny, real quick before we get into that. He did that to me last time he lost audio, Alex. Him and Justin Nation, I believe, did another segment, and then they just, like, just edited in, like, random bits and bobs from me, making it look like I was a jerk ruining the conversation. Every time Jerry loses, we lose, is what happens.
So, Perry, what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, so right now, by the way, my Audacity is running really weird.
Like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Instilling confidence.
This is good. This will be fun. I'm a little worried. No, it seems to be going. It's like the waveforms are loading like 10 seconds behind, but we should be fine. So I was editing a video, and for some reason, my Final Cut Pro was running really slow. And I looked at my computer, and it was like, it's because it was like, you know, I have like 2 terabytes, and like, it was like 100 gigs left. And like, I looked it up, and apparently it's really common, like, if your computer is really full, that it'll start, like, on heavy taxing apps, it will run slow. So I did a big cleanup. I didn't remove any of those files. That's not what it went.
He's like, let me delete my most recently recorded
nothing like
audio.
That happened. I did have a file on Final Cut, like those big huge video files. It was 960 gigs, so that was half of my computer. So I deleted that, and then I installed the new operating system because I thought that could be another thing. It might just be outdated and stuff.
Rookie
which
mistake.
Is always a scary thing, right? Yeah, I know. Totally rookie mistake. And so I opened, you know, I got through everything. Funnily enough, as I edit on GarageBand, I do all my music creation on Logic, but I edit on Garage for podcasts. And all of my GarageBand files are gone. Like, all of the files, like, they're just gone. There's a demo file, and then there's some Logic Pro files. Like, I looked up the last podcast I had edited on Logic was like episode like 97 and had James Jones on it. And that's what I had.
It's quite a while ago.
Which I could have used. It's not a big deal. But the thing is all of my audio was on there. And all of the, in my Audacity, there's none of my Audacity files were there or anything. It was nonsense. I have no idea. I checked everywhere. I checked Time Machine, everything. And I don't know. I have no idea what happened. All my Logic files were there, which, thankfully, I would have probably committed suicide if those weren't there. And everything's backed up now. But I don't know what happened with my GarageBand files. And so I don't know if they just got wiped with a new operating system and the new bit or something. I don't know. But Anyway,
doesn't surprise me.
It really, truly, truly stinks.
And you know what's so sad? That was the best episode we've ever recorded.
Yeah, yeah, we had Xander on. We did a good old-fashioned eShop verse, which, I mean, I guess I'll just say here, I was the champion. See, there's a lot of
No evidence.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of running theories on why Perry purposely deleted his audio. one of them was I think it was sabotage. He didn't want to face defeat once again at the hands of me.
Dude, I was happy for you to win.
No, I know. He was arguing. Yeah, we were making sure Xander didn't get the dub.
Yeah. Alex was the one that was like giving Xander like all the cheating because they're see they bonded over their names.
Yeah, it was a bunch of malarkey, but
it was.
But yeah, no, it's all right. We'll have Xander on again at some point, and yeah, we're still gonna have a good show here today. So, you know, and I believe there's actually some really amazing, fantastical, and crazy news coming from everybody here, except for me.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. It's
Casey's
Let's
news.
Let's go with Alex first.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is going to be great, getting the reveal the second time. Perry, you have to be so
hey,
surprised.
Casey was here last time, remember?
Yeah,
that's true.
I did miss this part.
That's true. Okay. So get your acting faces on. No. Okay. So I need to retell this story again, which Casey will also hear for the first time. So, the day that... you two invited me to become a permanent host.
Permanent guest.
You know what? I'm just going to say nothing for like 10 seconds every time you say this and just disrupt the flow
so
of the show.
Funny, though. It's so funny, though.
Okay.
I'll allow it.
So, the day you invited me to become a permanent guest on the podcast... It's funny that I'm mad about this because even though I'm not because this is actually really good news. Okay, the day you invited me to become permanent whatever I am on the podcast, I had picked out a ring for my then girlfriend, and it was like within a couple hours.
Oh, she dumped you, dude. I'm sorry. Your then girlfriend.
No, in fact, it is quite the opposite, Casey, young Casey, who is 5 years older than me, because now I have a fiance and I am getting married.
Woo-wee.
Fiance!
What'd I tell you about using French words on my podcast?
Look
but
at
yes,
that.
Yes, it's very exciting. Yeah,
every time you say fiance to someone, you should say, pardon my French. So now we got two guys on here with fiancés.
And yeah. One who's got a big old wife. Well, she's not a big old wife.
What did you say?
Yeah, that was a bad way to put that.
She will be. She will be pretty soon.
Yes, yeah. Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, but that's really cool. I'm very excited. It's totally exhausting, happy exhausting, but completely exhausting. I don't know.
So
I don't know.
You gotta play video games for two.
Yeah,
that's true. that's true, I guess. but Casey, since you're semi recently engaged, I'll ask you if you had a similar experience where like you do the proposal, you're so happy, and you're also so happy to get it out of the way, and then between the FaceTimes and the calls and the planning and the excitement and the happiness, I was wiped out for like 5 days after.
Well, I went, so yeah, like I had known I was going to ask for a while, then the pandemic hit, you know, so I was like, ugh, like I can't go to like the jeweler and all that stuff, so I ended up having to wait a little bit. But yeah, I knew she would say yes. Like, I wasn't, you know, afraid of that or anything. Right. But yeah, it was definitely like the morning of. I was like, oh, I just want to get it over with, like the first part. Because I like just get anxiety about anything, you know. Could be like, oh, we're going to play some freaking Super Mario Party tonight. And I'm like, oh, God. You know, like. So
you have
like,
to be on a microphone.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, gosh. Yeah, so it was nice to get it over with. More, you know, like I said, that makes it sound bad. But yeah, and then I made the mistake of just getting absolutely hammered at our little like after party thing. So
Yeah. Ugh, drinking's the worst. But no, I think it was all right because, yeah, with the pandemic going on still at the time, it was very much like, okay, well, like, now it's official, we're going to get married, but, like, we couldn't really do any planning, you know? And that's actually more happening now. More recently started doing that, which I feel like will be the fun slash not really fun at all and stressful part of it.
Yeah, so it's there's definitely a stress level because, like, what we were talking about on the last episode, me and Perry, or the episode, the lost episode, was that, like,
yeah,
because of where Perry is, it's way easier for him to find a venue and have a wedding quicker if, like, everyone's prepared to do it than at least me. And I'm guessing it's a similar case with you, Casey, because you live in, like, a slightly higher populated area where, like, you have to book venues in advance and you have to plan everything months and months in advance.
And you have to really think about if you really want to get married.
Yeah. Or if you just want to go to the courthouse and buy a house yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually crazy. Like, some of the venue places here you look at, and you're just like, yep, I can never afford that in a million years. So I'll just keep on going down. And then you go down, and you're like, oh, this place doesn't look like it'd be too expensive. And you're like, Jesus, Christmas. Like, planning a wedding is really expensive, like, no matter which way you slice it, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Fun. But, yeah.
And then the last thing is, after hiding a ring for so long, to simply have it not be your responsibility anymore is just so nice.
Yeah, I got lucky because it was, like, a family ring.
Okay.
So, I got it well in advance, and then I just, like, sort of hid it. And then, yeah, then I had to go get it all polished up and everything, you know? So that's, like, pretty much I couldn't go to the, like, jeweler to, like, get that done. So I had to wait. But, yeah, like, I remember, like, because, like, we went to, like, this, like, sort of state park and did, like, a little walk and hike area. And, yeah, like, every 2 seconds I'd be, like, trying to discreetly pat my pocket, you know? Like, yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
It's like when you have, like, tickets to some, like, a baseball game or something, you're like, God, I can't lose these tickets. Got to check every 2 seconds. But, like, a million times more important. but, yeah.
Right. Is that what you told Kate? So yeah. Romantic.
Yeah. We're going to the Mets game.
I got to tell you, Kate, this ring was just like when I have baseball tickets.
Yep. Those $10 freaking nosebleeds. But, yeah. No,
how long does
no.
an average baseball game last?
3 hours.
Three? I would say, yeah, anywhere from, like, 2.5 to 3.5, depending. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes it's quick, you know, and then sometimes it's, like, you got a bunch of BS. But that's, like, that's one of the main things with baseball. They're trying to find ways to speed up the game because generally it's pretty boring, you know. I mean, I like it, you know, but I could totally see why a lot of people think
it's
boring.
Do they speed it up by doing all those, like, drug checks and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Let me check your hat and your glove and your belt.
I don't know anything besides, like, the tweets that you've retweeted.
Yeah, well, because it's, like, pretty much, like, they throw the ball so hard, right? Like, they, like, let them put a little bit of, like, sort of, like, to just give them a good grip. Because they don't want, like, a pitcher throwing a 100-mile-an-hour fastball with no control and you're, like, smacking someone in the head, you know? So it was like, yeah, you right. can use a little bit of, like, pine tar or whatever to, like, get a good grip on the ball so you don't kill
get
anyone.
Get a grip.
Yeah, so what happened was, like, oh, great, that's perfect. And then, like, people started, like, oh, maybe I put a little extra, and then I could get better spin on my curveballs and stuff, you know? And then...
That's fascinating to me. I had no idea any of this stuff like this.
Yeah, so
I've never
then,
heard of, like, pine tar and stuff. I mean, like, using grip and stuff.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
Then, like, this spider tech is some sort of spray. I don't know. So essentially, though, just, like, they gave him an inch, right, and they took a mile. So, like, and, like, yeah, now they're starting to crack back on it and be like, nope. So, yeah, it's funny. Like, the Mets had, like, it was his first start, like, some kid, like, rookie, you know, like, had a pretty good start, you know? He's, like, walking out the field, like, the fans are cheering, oh, great game. And then the ump's like, come here, let me see your mitt, your belt, bro. It's like, oh, geez.
What would happen if they actually found something, though?
Well, it's funny, yeah. Like, at that point of the game, it's like he was literally leaving. Like, what, are they going to eject him now for principle? I think they might
We're
be able
take-
to... suspend
if
them.
We're going to take 3 bases back.
Yeah. Yep. We're going back and to last inning.
2 fouls and yeah.
But I know some guy got tossed, like he got caught in the middle of the game with it and he got ejected. But I don't know if they are giving like further suspensions on top of that or not.
Hmm.
Yeah, it is what it is. But yes, that's anyway.
Funny. Congratulations, so, I say Alex Kulafi.
Thank you.
We got from thank Alex's you. Engagement to the sticky stuff on baseballs, so, you know, like what a combo.
It ain't that
It's okay. I'm just a guest. You guys can take the lead on this.
Whoa.
You're a permanent you're guest. Just get a guest. That right, buddy.
Hey, by the way, Alex, we're all permanent guests, okay?
Yep. In this little thing called life.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're only permanent until exactly. we're dead. Then you're no longer permanent. Exactly. But, Perry, you got some cool news too, don't you?
I do. I'm actually playing it right now. I actually got stumped on something and had to restart a puzzle.
What have you been playing?
What?
What have you been playing?
I've been playing. Oh, should we go into it as in like what we've been playing with snaps?
No,
and everything?
But I was gonna do I was gonna do the snap thing after
oh,
you said
shoot,
it.
I ruined it. Okay.
just I've like last playing, recording.
Yeah, I've been playing Pictui. Permanent guest spot, Alex. You're really getting it.
Thanks, Dad.
Good job, sport. So funny. It's been under the wraps for 18 months. So it's been this little side project we've been doing. As you know, I'm a huge Picross fan. I always would play Picross while recording this exact show, like I was doing just now. It's one of those nice passive games you can do that. But we made our version of a Picross game, and I am so pumped about it. It's everything I can imagine that I love about it. It's nonograms, and it's fun, and it's nothing too crazy gimmicky. I call it like a natural kind of like evolution of Picross, where the gist of it is, it records your. So it's funny because it's this is really funny. So Alex jokingly said in like a message, like what was it you said, like that like I like 0 out of 10 or something, 1 out of 10 like doesn't include an RPG mode or
yeah yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, like,
yeah.
I won't play it unless it has an RPG mode. And the funny thing is it kind of does have an RPG mode in it where every puzzle you complete gets you, you know, experience points in a form that tracks your progress with your brain level. So you're kind of constantly. But it's not the main point at all. That's just a nice little bonus to like, and then every day you can stamp the calendar. So it's essentially Picross and Brain Age put together, which I think is so brilliant.
And you designed it.
Yeah, I think
I have to get Jules on the show. Well, that wasn't my idea. I mean, it was a joint.
This is a
Jules
brilliant guy.
Yeah. That's so funny.
What am I supposed to say? Okay, what am I? You know, I don't know. I truly do think it's awesome because I mean, again, this is a game that, like, I could not wait to download and play, and I've been playing it nonstop. It's really fun, so. That idea, though, of Picross charting your progress every day, stamping the calendar, seeing how many puzzles you've done, how much time you spent doing puzzles. I love it. And actually, I can't wait to hear other people's thoughts about it. But to me, there's always a count, like how much time have you put into puzzles? You know, it'll track it in there. And it's really fun because, like, you look and go, like, today I've literally done 60 puzzles today.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at that number and I go, I've played for an hour and a half. I've done 60 puzzles in an hour and a half, right? And so whatever that number is, it doesn't matter. Like, both of those numbers don't matter because if you got nine puzzles in the day and it took you 2 hours, which are probably harder puzzles and whatnot that down the line, then there you go. Like, it's cool because it's like, man, I've been like kind of exercising my brain for 2 hours, you know? And I have, you know, 290 puzzles left. And is a sense of worth there, value. And then on the other sense, it's like, oh man, I am like steamrolling through these. It's super satisfying to fill out the different ones I unlock. And then I get to see how fast I'm going through it. And I guess the other two things is the diorama mode, which is secretly like the coolest, awesome, fun part, which we'll talk about that later. But then it has categories for each level. So it's kind of like a world of puzzles where like there's like food and there's space and there's shopping and clothing and you know, stuff like that. So they all keep them together. And then when you complete a puzzle, there's this really cool trivia bit that that's what I read at the beginning, that hamburger thing that's from the game. So it's just fun. I like it, contextualizes things really nicely, and I'm very proud of it. And I also did the music for it too, which is fun. So it's technically my first Switch game music-wise as well. So pretty fun.
Heck yeah, dude.
So I've been playing Pictooie, also on the Nintendo eShop.
Look at that. So, we get two songs of Perry's music on there.
Just stack them back to back. Obviously, the little disclaimer is that Perry made it, and I will love anything that Perry develops. But
except
with that said,
this piece of garbage.
Except for this, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I will say I did spend my own money on it because I'm very proud of Perry, because this is his first like big developed game. And I spent a half hour, 45 minutes on it this morning. And my overall impression is that like it's a really nice, clean user experience. Like that's sort of my first sort of thing, because the music sounds really nice and bouncy. All the menus and the interfaces are all super clean and polished and colorful. And sort of my experience with other Picross games is that they've sort of been carried by the Picross itself, which, I mean, isn't a bad thing. Like, you go to Picross to play Picross, but some other games like this have sort of been a little sterile on that front. And I think that what this one does really well is that by adding the facts and the dioramas, which give it like a sense of progression, like I ran through one of those. And
yeah, so
the little
did the Mutant Muds one, right?
I did the first one. The Dr. Kawashima style light bulb. What's his name?
His name is Professor Ishida.
Professor Ishida.
Yeah, yes. Ishida. And Ishida is actually his name is Nanashita, and that's the guy that invented nanograms.
Oh, nice.
So that's where nanograms come from, and so this is Professor Ishida. So there's a little behind the scenes. It's kind of fun. But yeah, he's a little light bulb guy. He's adorable.
Yeah, I agree. And it gives it a sense of identity that I think these games usually lack. And then the Brain Age style stuff is very cute, but I think just the music is so chill. And just the Picross playing just feels nice. And I actually really like the sort of assist features that exist, which the two are, one will fill in a column and a row, and then the other one will tell you if you put in sort of a little blip saying, this is where the Picross goes, but it's wrong. And what's nice about that is that like it's less intimidating than most Picross games get, and that you can have a nice breezy time with it. So I guess my impression is like
absolutely,
it's totally Picross, but it's like a very nice way to play it, and I think that I think $10 was so the right way to go for pricing on this, because it's like, this is a really nice $10 experience.
Yeah,
yeah, the $10 is sort of the sweet spot, because it's sort of saying like, hey, this isn't sort of a throwaway title, right? Where like when some like, oh, $2-3, and not to say you can't get a good game at that price, you know, but like to me it's like, hey, we got some value behind this game, but it's also not going to break the bank, you know. And yeah.
Oh guys, if you knew how much like discussion went into every single thing that Alex just said, which is so fun to hear, because obviously Alex, by the way, your check's in the mail, but it's fun to hear someone, you know, get that, because it's such a delicate thing, because that's this game, the identity of this game, so tough to nail. Like, to like, obviously once you get into the game, that's great, but it's the idea of, what do we want people to think of this game, you know? And really, this game is made for Picross fans. It is absolutely made for Picross fans. And then after that, once you get in there, the hope is that, oh my goodness, like, this is cool that like it tracks my progress. It does, like Alex said, it doesn't penalize you for anything. Nothing. You can only cheat yourself. It doesn't. Because a lot of times when I'm playing Picross,
which is my favorite way to play video games,
the penalty is just to cheat yourself.
Yeah,
B, triple B.
but you know, even the name, like the name Pictui, I love it. I've always loved it. We tried so many other things; nothing ever felt the same. And like with advertising it, with like the idea of it, like with pitching it to people, the ideas and stuff. Like here's the thing, guys. If I tell you about like a game, like, hey, this is a Picross game where you enhance your brain, or you blah blah blah, like, you know, brain exercise, something something. That is like, oh, that sounds like school or like work. Like, I don't want that. And it's not. The thing is this game is not work. It's fun, but it is like process of elimination, brain exercise, you know,
I mean they're puzzle brain teasers,
they're
right?
Puzzles. Yeah, exactly. But it's like, think about how delicate that is. It's like there's like 30 DS games that are called like left brain, right brain exercise, you know, because it cashed in on that, the brain age thing. The brain age was perfect, right? And it worked out perfect, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's like, it's such a delicate balance with this. And so anyway, we
I feel
talk
like
about it,
yeah,
more
brain age later, was also like, I feel like had tied so much in with the actual piece of hardware, right? Like, you could write, you could talk into
it,
you could,
so
you know,
awesome too.
So it was very much, that was the sort of a flavor of the month, if you will, for back then.
And so anyway, I just like everything, Alex, it's really fun to hear you say that, because we haven't talked, you know, about any of that stuff.
No,
but that's exactly was 100% designed to be just like that, because it was one of those things where, you know, like in Picross, like if you have to turn like the assist mode off, you know, because like it's, you know, if you accidentally hit the wrong space, then it'll be like, oh, penalized, you know, that was wrong, and also here's 2 minutes added to the clock, and it's like, okay, well, that, you know, what's the point of that? And anyway, so a lot of those changes and stuff, so it's approachable to people. I'm really happy with how it turned out, and I'm announcing a contest right now. So, $25. There is a Talk Nintendo Easter egg in this game, and the first person to find it, I will literally PayPal them $25.
After the show, will you tell me what it is, or tell me how to find it?
I will.
Okay. You can tell me, and then I'll send you that screenshot. Pay for itself.
So that's kind of just, I thought that'd be kind of fun.
Heck yeah.
I want to talk a lot about this game, because obviously, I'll just end with saying I did all the food puzzles. and
is there a boss burrito?
Yes. There is
Taco Yans.
And there's like, it's funny, there's like diet cream soda, and there's like a stick of butter. And I basically put all my favorite foods on there and everything. And there may just be something inspired by Johnny Metz as well in there. So anyway, we had had so much fun doing the game. So
nice.
It was too much fun, guys.
Heck
and yeah,
yeah,
it goes all the way up to 20 by 20. So it, you know, that's the other thing I wanted to say is something that's way different from is the speed of the game. Like for how fast you solve them, they're a lot simpler at the beginning than Picross. So and I think overall the game is just a little bit easier and by design. Still great, but it was designed to feel really satisfying where you get all the way through and you know you want to get on every day like the Bivs and you want to check off on the calendar. I bet Daniel would love this game. I should check it out.
But the anyway. Old Bivs.
Anywho's, you'll hear more about that, but yeah, very proud of it and I'm really excited to keep playing it.
Boom,
congratulations.
Heck yeah.
And then Yuka. Yuka's on sale.
Yes, Yooka-Laylee. Yooka-Laylee, the game decks game, Yooka-Laylee's on sale. Which, this is so funny. Like, I'm not going to snap for this, but it actually is what I've been playing as well. I played a really fun game. No.
Get as much Perry music as we can.
Yeah, seriously. Who is this freaking, what do you call someone who's obsessed with herself? What's that word?
Narcissist?
Yeah, who is this narcissist?
Look, he pretended like he didn't know what the word was.
I really... Shut up. Yeah, so we played a combination of Yooka-Laylee and Mutant Muds Deluxe, which is the ones that are on sale right now. And I gotta say, guys, it is the best game that I've ever played in my whole... No, I'm just kidding.
I don't
no,
like
it's
it.
Fun. The difference with tabletop games and video games, it's really fun to make up house rules, and our games are perfect for that, for like changing the board and doing different things. And it's just stuff like, you know, with video games, you really can't mod it without, like, you know, hacking it and being one of those kind of people, like Alex. And
yeah,
no, but it's just so it was really fun. We made a board made up of the Mutant Muds blocks cards and of the Yooka-Laylee cards. And like, just for instance, one of my so there's a jump pad for Mutant Muds in the video game Mutant Muds. You can jump to the background, and you know there's like three different dimensions because it was on the 3DS. And so we have jump pads on the board where if you land on it, if I roll a dice like Mario Party, land on it, then I jump immediately in that direction to a different, whatever space it's pointed at. And so we have two different kinds of cards in there, in the game decks. So there's 2x2 cards, 2-inch by 2-inch, and there's 1-inch by 2-inch cards, and they're smaller. We call them token cards. And so we have it with every single game, we do have one little token card that is a space that you can move around. So the way that we've been playing recently is where, so it's like if we have a jump pad, we like the person can lay it down on the board anywhere they want. Like the player one, they get to lay anywhere. Once someone lands on that, they use it and then they get to move it to wherever they want on the board. So it's like this modular board as they're playing. So we have that and other things that move like that, and creating board, and like, so then it's really fun because like I made a board that you had to jump to using the jump pad to get over to the special zone, you know, and it's just, anyway, I'm really happy again, really proud of how that game turned out, and really excited to play that with people. I can't wait to go to a PAX.
Oh,
you know,
me
it'll
too.
Be really fun to, guys, it'll be so fun to play it in person. I can't wait to play, but yeah, Yooka-Laylee, so pumped about it. So happy to be working with Playtonic on this, and they love it, and it's just so much fun. It's a dream come true. I mean, it is a fun board game thing to have, so everyone should check it out. And I'm by the time this podcast posts tonight, there could be, if we're posting tonight, then there it could be sold out, the big bundle. But other than that, the other ones are on sale still. So
get them while they're hot.
Get them while they're hot. Ooh-wee.
But yes, I like that. I did like Perry. I'm not going to go into ukulele right now, but hold on.
But hold my beer.
Yeah, but yeah, let me get into this. No, of course, we love hearing about it. But all right. So I believe...
Of course, we love hearing about it, but shut up.
Yeah, but yeah. All right. But we've had enough. So now we're going to be talking about what we've been playing, right? Am I going to get into some Mario Golf, right? That's the game plan?
Yeah.
I guess we could probably just go right, just play the music, right? And then I'll start talking.
Let's go right into Mario Golf Super Stress.
Old Super Stress. Yeah, so Mario Golf Super Rush, a highly anticipated game, I believe, for many, but especially here on the old Talk Nintendi. Perry and I, big fans of the golf series, so we were, waiting for this puppy for quite a bit. For many years, right? Always
every,
our predictions.
Yeah. Every single year since 2016, Camelot's gotta been doing it. They got they got the tennis team. But they had to have a separate team working on golf, of course.
It's been years since tennis. We got to be ready. It's got to be coming. And then we got this game. But but yeah, so I guess right off the bat, we will see, there's the core mechanics are a little bit different. Because in previous Mario Golf games, you'd sort of, line up your shot, do whatever you got to do, sort of pre-swing, you look at the wind and all that good stuff, and you're still going to do all that here, and then you'll pretty much engage on a bar or a meter. It would go up towards to the top. Getting higher on the bar would be a more powerful shot. Then you want to time it where you hit it. Then it comes back down. Then you would sort of time it in a small sort of frame of on the bar to sort of get a good shot. Obviously there's a real small spot, you get a perfect. And then if you don't hit it there, you're more likely to sort of shank it left or right. But in this game, it actually, you go through that cycle twice. So the first one will be still, the power. And you will sort of do either AA or BB, for top spin or backspin. And then it will go through the bar again. And on this second time, you're going to sort of... angle your shot or curve it potentially, or if you just want to go straight, you're going to go up and at it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little different because the cadence, right? Instead of just one sort of A, hit it A, I'm off. It takes a little bit more time to get through the shot, but I don't hate that per se. It is a little different, and I think comparing the two. Previous style to this newer style, I think I favor the older style better, but it doesn't bother me so much that it's like a detriment to the game or anything along those lines. And it's not really too difficult where it's going to confuse, people who have played previous games.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is they really sort of try and rely on, curving the shot. So, if you hold to the right on that second way through the meter, it'll have one, two, and three little arrows indicating how strong of a curve it'll be. And this will be good for getting around obstacles, trees, rocks, whatever in the way. And it is cool. It's a little different again, than previous games, but I don't hate it. Now, what is now getting into more of the problems with this game, right? Because I'll say the mechanics feel good. Like I said, a little different for sure, but not bad at all. Solid. They play well. Obviously the game looks really great. The different courses that they sort of have their standard, this is sort of the woody course. This is sort of your standard golf course. This one's sort of a more duney or desert course kind of thing. They don't really do a lot to stand out from previous ones where I'm super memorable, but they're nice looking courses. They play well. Now, but getting into the things that I've got more problems with is really, the adventure mode, right? They sort of talked about, hey, it's back, right?
RPG mode's back.
Yeah, woo-wee, here we come. But oh boy, oh boy. Let me get a sip of water for this one. Yeah, so pretty much it just is boring. It feels like, hey, this is the tutorial. Play this and you will learn how to play golf, you know? But it's like, that's not what I want. It's like, I want a fun, you know,
You want Mario Golf Toadstool Tour, thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. You do get experience and you can, like, upgrade your character. Like, oh, I'm going to make the drive longer. I'm going to, you know, I want more spin on my ball. I want better control.
So Alex will play it because there's an RPG mode.
What's up?
If by RPG mode you mean relatively passable game, it sounds like that's what this game has.
Yeah, it's like, all right, so, like, you know, you go into the area. It's like you're the new, you know, rookie coming up, and there's a couple of you who are new to the tour. Like, oh, and you sort of walk around the area, and, like, they've got shy guys, and that's always great, you know. But they got characters you could talk to, but, like, you know, they don't really say much of substance, right? Nothing too interesting. And then you go on. It's like, hey, here's, like, a practice round. Oh, now you're in the tournament. Cool, okay. That's fine. Like, unlock a new course. We like that. Then it gets to, like, I think it's only the second part in the area where it's like, hey, this course, it, you know, like a storm came through and ravished it. It's like, there's, you know, we can't play this course in this condition. But what we can play is this really awesome mode called XC Golf or Cross Country Golf. And it's like, oh, okay, like, what's this? And
XC
it's like,
XC Golf.
It's like, hear me out here. We're going to make this really boring and tedious and not fun at all mode, and we're going to slap it in your face real bright and early.
So what is this mode? Why is it so bad?
Okay, so it's pretty much like, hey, here are six holes that you need to get. And instead of like a normal golf match, right, like oh, this is a par four. Get it in as few strokes as possible. This is more like, hey, here are these six holes. You've got 26 shots to beat them all. And what it is you start on the one area, and you could go to any of these that you want right off the bat. Now, like, presumably you're going to want to go to probably the closest one, but it might actually work out where it's like, actually, I want to go up higher, right? Because the one I'm thinking of that they really throw at you first, it's like three tiers the course, right? There's like a few, there's like a hole or two on the very bottom tier. Then there's like a few on the middle and then a few on the top. So, like, for me, I was like, I'm going to get up top, get all the top ones, because it's way easier to hit downhill, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about, like, oh, will I get enough air under the ball for it to clear the cliff, or is it just going to hit the cliff and fall back down and then sort of screw me over? But what's annoying is you have to run to your ball. So it's like this area has a bunch of tornadoes, and, like, that's really how you end up shooting the ball up the cliff. Like, oh, I got to hit into this tornado while curving it enough that it lands up top. Then I need to run into this tornado and get flung up there. And then, like, sometimes you don't always make it. And, like, the one I found myself literally, like, oh, I didn't make it, but each time I jump, I get a little bit higher on this cliff, and it's not letting me fall down. So, oh, that's 15 seconds of me pressing the jump button over and over again as I get to the top of this mountain. And it's just like, ugh.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So the idea too is, like, you have a certain amount of time to hit the ball in between strokes, otherwise you get an additional penalty. But it's just like, it's like, I get the idea, seems like it could be cool, right? Because it'll be like, all right, I get to the hole, I hit it in, then they literally, like, just drop your ball, like, right off the green, and, like, you tee up and go. So it's like, It's sort of, I want to say it's fast paced, but it's really not, because it's such a slog to get to your ball in between shots. And it's just like,
so weird.
This sort of sucks, you know? And then I was reading online, and, like, people were like, yeah, so like, weird, what's up, dude, with this XC Golf? And they're like, yeah, I can't believe they throw it to you so early without even learning the lob shot yet. And I was like, what? Like, why would they give you this? Like, they want you to use the tornadoes, right, to elevate the ball up. But it's like, God, if there's literally an option where we could turn a lob shot on that would make this more enjoyable, like, why the heck wouldn't you do that? But anyway, XC Golf Yikes. Sucks. I really don't like it. The regular golf is good. Like I said, like, there are not a lot of courses. There are only six courses total in the game right now. So
I wonder how long it, I mean, how long? What was that, like 2 hours? I don't know. Like, how
what
long
if you
would it take
play
to get
six matches in a row?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Yeah, maybe around there. I'd say, I don't know if it's like, I'd say maybe 20 to 30 minutes to finish 18 holes, maybe. So, depending, yeah. You know, a couple hours. But yeah, like I said, the regular golf is good, and hopefully they add some more content. You know, they've already said they will, you know, but Nintendo's really sort of, it sort of has been, I think, trending in not a great way with the releases of content. But real quick before I touch on that, there is the speed golf, right, which is sort of the like the big draw in the sense of like what's new and what
Super
separates
Rush.
This, right? Yeah, so speed golf is better than XC golf, like unequivocally. It's like way better. But it's still not great because it's like you all tee up at the same time, which is cool, and you all run to the ball. But as far as playing the computer, it's just not really fun. It's like, they're not really bumping into me. I'm like getting out ahead of them. So then it's just like literally me hitting my ball and then just sprinting, watching my gauge, you know, my stamina meter drop. Oh, now I need to sort of slow walk to, oh, I got a heart. Cool. Now I can do my dash, hit my ball. And it's like when you hit your ball, right? Normally you like when it's not speed golf, it's like, oh, I get to watch where it lands. Like, ooh, was I close to the hole? You know, like, oh, did I almost roll past it or something?
Right.
Where this, it's like it shoots off, and I can sort of see like the trajectory and where it bounces, but like you don't get a close up because you're now worrying about sprinting forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think speed golf is probably more fun with friends because then it's like you'll at least be more inclined, like, oh, like I want to get that, and I'm gonna. Yeah, I'm going to sprint and dash into Perry and mess him up. You know, like, I think it would be more fun than playing against the AI, you know? But as far as a single-player experience, it's like speed golf is, like, oh, it's okay, but it's not really that great. XC golf I really don't like. Regular is good, you know, but it's nothing crazy. Actually, it's funny, Xander
and
there's
no challenges and stuff.
Yeah, there's
ahead.
There's no challenge modes or anything, no ring challenge, no tournament. So it's like, I think those would be things that maybe be added. Well, tournament, I definitely think will be added. Hopefully, like, the challenge shots and all that other stuff is too. But that just, like, harkens back to, like, Nintendo's sort of been, like, pretty crummy with their releases lately, I think. Like, releasing it bare bones and then building it up. And like
specifically the sports stuff you're saying.
Yeah, specifically that. And then like I know the argument with Animal Crossing as well.
For
me,
absolutely.
That at least made sense because like in my eyes, I took it more as like maybe they weren't necessarily like not done with all that, but it was more like let's prevent people from time traveling, getting all the our blowing all the cool stuff we have, sort of, you know, quote unquote surprised for people. So that's the, like, for me, Animal Crossing, like I said, I'll be the first one to, you know, I probably defended it plenty on the show where I was like that. I didn't mind, but for a game like this, it's like, I don't want to spend $60 and then feel like, oh man, like, okay, like sort of lackluster and like, okay, I guess, you know, maybe in 2 months time, we'll have a couple more courses and like, it'll be more fleshed out, but it's like, come on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny
is very much, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, Xander and I tried, actually the other night after we recorded, we were going to play a match, and the servers were going under maintenance, so we couldn't play. So just icing on the cake, you know?
So let me ask you, you talked about this Tuesday, and you had obviously much of the same feelings. 3 days have passed since then, and back then you were, I would say, just as negative, or just as middle of the road, however you would say, and then you said that the XC Golf was so not good that you weren't even interested in playing the story mode much more. So I'm just curious, in the 3 days, how have your feelings evolved? Or are you pretty much in the exact same place?
Well, I haven't played Mario Golf since.
That's kind of the most damning thing of all, huh?
Yeah. So, I need to unlock the last course. Now, the good thing is, generally, like, you'll unlock the courses by going through the story mode. But if you go to single player and just play 18 holes, you will unlock the other courses. So for people who don't want to, like, go through the slog of story mode, you could still unlock the new courses, which is good. So I still need to get the last one, and like, I'll absolutely will. It's not the last time I'll ever touch this game. And especially as they, you know, sort of continue to update it. But yeah, I mean, it's just, like I said, I've not really been enthused or I haven't had the draw to want to go play. And like you said, I think that sort of
that's crazy, you know,
speaks
dude.
Louder than
that is
than
so
anything
stupid.
Else.
Yeah, I haven't picked up this game, and I would have had it pre-ordered and stuff had it not been the busiest 2 weeks of my life and blah blah blah. But now it's like, you know, I'm so interested, and I know I will pick this game up. I know for a fact I will. But it will definitely be like on a discount, and after more content comes, or hopefully when people go, okay, this is a cool thing they updated. But it's annoying that like the main features of the game aren't that good. That's what's mm-hmm. annoying.
Yeah, like, that is they. How, you can definitely just, tell they were focusing on the speed rushing and running around, right? And and I think that's where like the XC Golf came in, because it was probably like, hey, we spent all this time sort of getting the character to actually traverse the area, right? Like, we put the you know, resources into making that element. Like, let's not just have it be one mode. And then they were like, you know, and XC Golf, like I said, like, I feel like the idea of it is cool. Like, okay, like, you need to do some planning on how you want to attack these holes, because, you know, it's not just literally going from A to B to C to D. It's like you can go however you want. It's just that it's just running from point A to B is just really not that much fun, and it just slows
what's
it down.
What's the point? I don't get it. Why are you what's the point? Are you racing?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're trying to get like as quick as you can, because if you like, so you want to get the XC Golf, like the six holes done in a certain amount of strokes. And then if you take too long getting from your ball to the next one, you know, like hitting, you can get penalized like a stroke for taking too long. So the speed element is there in the sense that you need to, you know, like there's a countdown timer and you need to hit the ball before it hits zero. Otherwise, you get another stroke on there. And then speed golf, obviously, it's like you want to get it done as quick as possible because you want to, I mean, you want to have the best score, but then the tiebreakers goes to the, like, who was quicker, you know? And I mentioned this last week. I want to mention it again. The AI is pretty bad in the sense that, like, they just never are very good. Like, when I've played them, like, they're always above par, and I'm, like, way under, you know? And I mm-hmm. think as you play more, I guess you can unlock clubs where, like, or, like, they could choose different clubs, like, which just is sort of like how the difficulty changes, because they'll be able to hit further, and I guess they'll just tune to play better. But I've seen some funny videos online of like, oh, we're playing speed golf, like I'm in the hole, Mario is like, oh, he just has like sort of a tap in putt, and he whips out his driver, turns about face, and like rockets a ball like 180 yards away from the hole for like when he was literally just about to tap it in. And then like you have to wait for the players to finish. So like that person had to wait for Mario to run over to his ball, come hit it back to the green, and then finish up. And it's like, why? Like, why is that? Like, what happened there? You know? But yeah, I don't know. This game, I think it's maybe time to hand the,
you know what they should call
Mario
this game?
Golf or the Mario Sports titles to a new dev.
I think I got the name of this game. It's Mario Golf Super Rushed.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. I had the same joke. I was waiting. I was going to say Speed Rush was a, or Super Rush was a commentary on Camelot's experience developing the game, but I like yours, too.
Yeah. It's Thank a damn you. Shame because, I mean, like, it's pretty obvious how freaking pumped and hyped and how much we love this series, and it's just like, you know?
Yeah.
Good old-fashioned case.
Dude.
The farts.
Yeah. If Skyward Sword wasn't coming out so soon, I would be very, very, very displeased. But as the fact of the matter it is, I am already too busy playing Pictui, which is on sale.
And when I'm not playing Pictui, you can find me around the tabletop.
Yeah. By the way, I will constantly make that joke.
Quote unquote joke.
Yeah.
This is just going to be a podcast that advertises itself.
Yeah.
GameDex.fun.
And if you're
for
looking for
your...
a good read, check out Alex Kalafi's book.
Please.
Yeah. <we're...
laughs> Perry Selling, I'm Just Begging.
For the love of God.
Okay, but before the listeners turn this off, I should actually provide content.
Nah.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. So, last week, or not last week, 3 days ago, on the episode that no longer exists, I had impressions of the Monster Hunter Stories 2 demo and the Game Builder Garage. And what I did was I took the audio from those two segments, I turned it into a pretty organic sounding monologue.
Perfect.
And we'll end up stapling those onto the end of the show.
And by end of the show, we actually mean right now.
So I started playing Game Builder Garage. It's Nintendo's attempt at teaching people how to make video games like Nintendo. I think that's kind of the tagline that they're using. And our previous experience is Labo, which does have some of that for sure, but it was also Mario Maker, which was really teaching you how to work with a level editor, which obviously you're learning level design and a lot of important things, but it's more teaching you how to work within a creation system than teaching you how to create a video game. And this, the structure of this game is, you're given 7 lessons that teach you how to make different types of video games. Like this first one is a 2D game of tag, which is the one lesson I did. And it's set up like Joust. It's like that kind of sort of 2D single screen. And it has this very interesting sort of tool set where the way the sort of building structure works is it's a bunch of lines and a bunch of like, here's the button node and here's the node that says what that button does. And here's the screen node that shows exactly where the screen is and where your character is in relation to it. And it's a million of those, and it's basically, and you just are connecting sort of, and you're making connections between them. I'm not going to try to explain the sort of creation engine, because it is complicated to explain, but easy the way Nintendo explains it. And the lessons are so, so cool and clever and interesting. And I'm not a programmer, but I'm imagining that these are teaching you how to think like a programmer and how to think like a game designer. It's a lot of if this, then this. For example, here's this character. Try to move him. Oh, you can't move him? You need to program that in. It teaches you to think, I imagine, kind of like a programmer or a game designer. And the way it does that is very much if this, then this. So, for example, it'll just put a character on a screen, and it'll be like, try to move him. And then you move the stick, and it doesn't work. Try to jump. You try to jump, it doesn't work. So then it's like, okay, well, we need to program the jump and the movement now. So it goes to the sort of creation screen. It teaches you how to use that tool, and then you have the note on. It's like, let's see what happens now. And then he falls through the screen because there's no platform beneath him. So then it's like, okay, now you got to put a platform down. And then they're like, okay, that's cool, but now he would fall off on either side. So then it even walks you through like stuff like game balance, and it does it in a very, like, it's not directly saying game balance, but it's teaching you those skills and how to think that way through its very segmented lessons, doing that kind of thinking. And the way it's set up, it's all colorful and fun. So it's not trying to do a see how the bacon's made type thing where it takes the fun out of it. It's very much trying to make game design seem more rewarding now that you have this information, not less rewarding because it makes games less exciting, which is, I think, the right way to do it. And it breaks it down into all these different sort of steps so you can consume stuff at your own speed. And I've only done one lesson, but it seems like it's doing like multi-screen stuff, and then it gets into 3D stuff, and then there's a few genres. It's not about making it so you have to learn how to use an engine or something. What it's trying to teach you is strictly how to think in this specific way in order to be this kind of creative, which I think is amazing. And I'm not saying no one's ever done it before, but I feel like no one's ever done it like this before. So I think that's really nice. But then there's another angle to it. So that's the first lesson. But after you finish the first lesson and you make your first game, you then unlock the ability to download other people's games, which unfortunately you can't browse in the game at all. You have to use fairly short friend codes and then download them. To make up for Nintendo's tomfoolery, someone who is not Nintendo made this amazing website called mygarage.games that allows you to browse what must be hundreds of different games, and it just, you click on the game, it gives you the 10-digit code, and you just enter it in, which isn't ideal, but it's easy, and it compiles it by, like, popular and random and hot this week and newest. Inside the games, or the games that I have played, there's some really amazing stuff, because the sort of programming engine that they have, obviously I haven't seen a ton of it, it's more robust than, say, a Mario Maker, but you can't literally make whatever you want. You are stuck with a certain level of, a certain low level of features, but the stuff people are making is amazing, because people are making first-person shooter controllers, and someone, have you heard of Superhot? Like, the indie game Superhot, where, like, it's slow when you stand still, and then you move, and it's, and yeah, and it's, and it speeds up when you move. Someone recreated that, like, pretty well in Game Builder Garage. There's a Nintendogs one, which is, like, it's very basic, but it's so crazy how functional it is. Someone made a full level of VVVVVV that's completely functional. Someone made a Bob-omb Battlefield. And then my favorite is someone made this little demo level for Doom Eternal, where it's just a single room and there's enemies that are shooting with you, and you're in a first person shooter, and they give you three different guns, and the goal is to just kill all the enemies in the room, which is a very small thing, but it has, like, the hard rock music playing, and you can, like, dash like Doom, and it's just amazing. But I would say, like, the games, it's not like, obviously, it's not like they're making full-on video games. It's more like little demos. You know those toys in, like, WarioWare games? How there's those toy sections where it's like, it's something you play around with, but it's not explicitly a game? I would say that's kind of the bulk of what I'm seeing. But it's a lot of really cool stuff. Like, someone made, like, a Sonic 2D, 3D type thing. Someone made an F-Zero thing. It's really wild. So I would say if you have Game Builder Garage, try it, but you haven't opened it yet, like me previously, try it out. You might like it.
And now we are going straight into... Wait, what are we going into? Hold on. Monster Hunter. It's Monster Hunter Stories 2, The Demo, by Alex Kulafi.
The other thing I've been playing, which I thought was going to be my main thing this week, but I'll be fairly efficient, is the Monster Hunter Stories 2 Wings of Ruin demo. Last Friday, two pretty substantial JRPG demos came out on the eShop. It was the Monster Hunter Stories 2 Wings of Ruin demo, and it was the Nioh: The World Ends With You demo, which I haven't played yet, but I think I'll try to check that out before the game comes out July 27th. But Monster Hunter Stories 2 demo came out, and it was not really on my radar. I mean, I like Monster Hunter games for the most part, but I hadn't played the first one. I was like, I don't know how this JRPG is going to be. And then I had the open window, so I just downloaded it and started playing it, and I loved it. And it's rare that that happens, and it's nice that that happens when you play a demo and you're like, this was not on my radar, but now I'm buying it. And pre-ordering it in this case. What's so interesting about Monster Hunter Stories 2, or which this is the only one I've played, is that it's not the game I thought it was. I so thought it was going to be a linear Pokemon adventure where you're doing where you're using Monster Hunter characters. There's some flavor from the Monster Hunter series, but you're just going on some sort of JRPG adventure, and that's so not what it is. Instead, it takes the basic structure of Monster Hunter, where you're at like a village location and you're going off on missions, and it puts a JRPG on top of it. So the story's much bigger than Monster Hunter has been in the past. The world you go out into, I'm guessing it's probably one per chapter. I have no idea how many chapters there are going to be. And you're given these missions, and there's even like a mission board. But there's also like a story going along, and you go out and you hunt monsters. But there's this JRPG, almost Pokemon style combat to it. And you hunt monsters, and you can get monsters on your team by collecting their eggs. And it's fun. Like it feels like Monster Hunter, but it feels more colorful, and it feels like combat that I can get behind. And it's not really stressful in the way that Monster Hunter gets. But it takes all the things you like about Monster Hunter and it translates it to a JRPG style game. The combat's really fun. It has sort of a three elemental system that like power moves beats technical moves, which beats speed moves, which beats power moves. And then there's also like a weapon sort of system. So it's a little like Pokemon, but it's kind of doing its own thing. The monster collection is really fun. The story stuff is really fun. And the story's like pretty interesting. It's kind of like if you ever played Yo-Kai Watch, where it's kind of surface level Saturday morning cartoon, but there's also like something kind of cozy about that too. I'd compare it to Yo-Kai Watch, how it feels like this AAA trying to be Pokemon JRPG. From Japan. It feels like Monster Hunter, not Monster, it feels like Monster Hunter, and it also feels like Dragon Quest Monsters, where you're going around riding monsters, fighting monsters. Like, it's definitely that same kind of vibe. And the demo is beefy. It was like 3 hours long, and I got to like the exact moment in the story where I was hooked, which was right after beating the first major boss, which, like I said, beefy, about 3 hours. You see the premise of the game, you get a new monster that looks really, really cool and seems exciting, you see enough story stuff to get you hooked, and now I have a pre-order of the game coming on July 7th when the game comes out. So, they got me.
Oh, Alex, you are a nut. Well, now I'm back to the real show that was the second one that we recorded, because I lost the first one of the three of us. Now, here we go.
And we'll end up stapling those onto the end of the show.
Beautiful. Good.
Excellent. So, what I have been playing in the few days since is two sort of quick bites. The first one... That was a gross sound.
Why, thank you.
Was Fuser available free to play on the Nintendo eShop until July 5th. Okay, so Fuser is the new game by Harmonix. It's not new at all. I think it's like 2 years
Harmonica.
Old. Harmonica. And I downloaded it because it always seemed kind of cool. But it's free to play, or I think it still will be, from like June 29th to July 5th, I think it is. And I downloaded it, which is something I never do with these free play weekends or whatever, because it was a fairly generous window, and I was just like, yeah, I kind of wanted to play this. So what it is you are a DJ, and it gives you dozens of songs to work with, and you have four tracks. Fuser, huh?
Dozens of songs to fuse.
To fuse. Mm. That might be what it actually is. It sounds like that's what it would actually be.
It's called Fuser, so...
It should be that. Okay.
Okay.
So now that we've got that situated.
All right.
You get drums. It's one drum track, one vocal track, and two everything else tracks. So it's usually like a bass and a guitar or a piano. And it usually takes each song that's on there and breaks it down into four. And what you can do is you can mix them up. You can put any song in any of the four tracks. And it has this pretty cool technology or AI or whatever it uses to figure out how to make things sound pretty good together. And it makes everything sound pretty good together. Like, I took some video clips on the Switch that I might end up putting on Talk Nintendo POD on Twitter. That it's just me mixing some stuff together. So I took like a Brad Paisley song and put 50 Cent in the Club over it. So that was pretty good. And then I put I did High Hopes by Panic at the Disco and put All Star by Smash Mouth over it. And then there was a really awful sounding one I did, which was, I think, Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley with the vocals to Sean Paul's Temperature over the top. And my sort of game I was making was trying to make the most awful sounding stuff as pretty much as bad as I could. But some of the stuff sounded pretty good. Like, when you blend the country and the hip-hop, I've had really good luck with that one.
I'm trying to figure out how this works and whatnot. But it sounds crazy.
It's harmonic, so they've been making music games for decades. So if anyone can figure it out, they obviously can.
I mean, it's probably sort of similar. I mean, like a dumbed-down, like, Ableton, which is like, you know, where like DJs mix tracks and stuff. I'm assuming, right? It's just sort of like grabbing different parts of the
songs. All those chord progressions, like, are they separate tracks? So, like, the melody just comes out of one song and it's not the actual chords and not the drums and stuff. I mean, you know, like,
yeah,
I haven't seen anything about it. I haven't actually heard it.
Yeah, I feel like you'd have to be able to separate the tracks for it to actually work, because then it would just be like, oh, I'm playing two songs at the same, like, BPM, you know? Like, I wonder if they're, like, yeah, different stems you can grab off of it or something.
Well, yeah, that's sort of my impression of what they're doing is they have the, they take each individual song, they personally break it down so you have four files for each one, and then whatever they're using messes with the pitch, it messes with the tempo, and it kind of makes everything sound pretty good together. But you can also mess with that stuff yourself. But it's an interesting game because you're not really playing it actively beyond you're mixing stuff around, and sometimes you might do like a drop. And it's definitely a slightly more passive game, I would say, unless you're playing at a high level. However, there's also a campaign mode. I didn't really touch that. And in fact, I only touched it for about 20 minutes, and I'm not really that interested in going back because I saw it as like a nice little toy.
Yeah, you
that
got
was
your
sort of a free
film.
Download. Yeah, but given the context,
so is it
was
fun?
Kinda,
I mean, like,
it was fun to play for a half hour for free, and I recommend that if you hear this episode in that time and you have that half hour and you want to download the game, you can definitely have 30 minutes of some really dumb fun.
Yes. Sweet.
Yeah. And then the other one is The World Ends With You Final Remix. Moving on. The World Ends With You Final Remix
on
the Nintendo Switch. Yes, yes. So, I had bought this a long time ago on some Square Enix sale on the eShop for like $25. But it's like all those games that you buy and then you just don't play. Or at least I buy and I don't play. But I had this experience where, have you ever just woken up and just had this overwhelming desire to play one very specific video game and you had no idea why, but your mind was just like,
oh,
you really want to play this right now. And it's the most random one.
Like, like I just had that with Mario versus Donkey Kong March of the Minis.
That's a great that's a great example.
Yes, yeah. That's almost as good as the example of Impermanent.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah,
true. Almost.
If you think about it, we all truly are impermanent.
I love how we looked up the definition, like, and it like literally uses the sentence that we used it in.
We should have just, yeah.
That was amazing.
We should have just trusted Alex's impeccable judgment.
He is a published writer.
That's true, self-published, but who's
potato,
making
potato.
That? Yeah, and it's funny because this is the impermanent episode of the podcast.
Yes, exactly. Wow.
Yeah.
We are meta.
Exactly. This is all planned and written in advance. We're actually reading from a script. The world Ends With You Final Remix. So I had this sitting in my re-downloads for a very long time. And one of the things that like sort of made me hold off is I heard the controls on this version of the, I think it was like a 2005-2006 DS game, The World Ends With You, I heard that they were pretty bad, but I didn't know that much about it. But I got in the mood to play this, so I was curious, so I looked up some reviews, and I stumbled on Nintendo Life's, and they're like, it's 15 hours long, the final sort of bonus episode is like an extra 3 or 5 hours, and they're like, the controls aren't great, but the handheld ones are way better than the TV ones. So I'm like, okay, that's good enough for me to play. So I started playing it, and it's really interesting because it's not a button control game at all if you're playing on the handheld, which is how I play Switch games. It's touchscreen only, completely 100% touchscreen.
Oh, that's not so fun.
No, it's not. But the other version is you can go Wii Remote style and play the exact same touchscreen game with Wii Remotes, basically.
Is it better?
I didn't try it because that's the mode that got very like poorly received. Okay. And I play on handheld, and the touchscreen's just easier to deal with.
You know, absolutely. And I was gonna say, funnily enough, and I'm playing my Switch Lite right now. Mm. I played Super Mario Galaxy on Switch Lite with touchscreen controls to get the stars, and I absolutely loved it. I thought it was
really
awesome. Yeah, I could. Cool. I couldn't believe how easy it was. I played the whole Super Mario Galaxy on my Switch Lite, and it was amazing.
Nice.
So what I'm saying is like the integrated touch controls with the normal controls, it can work, actually. But this all touch though on the Switch is just all touch controls just in general, right? I mean, besides like a sim or like a tabletop game like Simulator or something.
Tabletop, you say?
Visit gamedex.fun for more info.
Yeah. So, The World Ends With You. It's a DS game that came out 15 years ago. There's a sequel coming out this month on Switch. And I got in the mood to play this thing. And I actually have a DS copy somewhere in my parents' house, but that's beside the point. This game looks like a Kingdom Hearts game. It totally does. Which is not surprising because...
Are you a Kingdom Hearts fan?
No. I played the 3DS one and liked it, but that's the only experience I've ever had. And I had no idea what was going on in the story at any time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Nomura is... Tetsuya Nomura, who's kind of known as the Kingdom Hearts guy. He is the producer, and he did the art for this. So it makes a lot of sense. And it's this very, like... emo, goth, Hot Topic-y teens in Japan where there's this this kid with amnesia wakes up, there's a game, there's 8 days, you need to do these games or else you die. And it's maybe a little Saw-like, but it's not like that. It's not like that gory or anything. And I haven't seen much killing or anything yet. But it's one of those sort of like there's a mystery and there might be a supernatural element. And it's very anime, which is fine. I'll play a story like this every once in a while.
Perry loves a good anime game. Can you get a waifu?
Well, there are people that probably would be described as waifus, but the thing is, I'm 26 and engaged, and these are teenagers, so I'm not very interested in finding out.
I guess, yeah. Please direct all inquiries to Justin Nation.
I love how you know what's funny is last you made fun of me last time for not knowing what a waifu is via text message, and I asked both of you what it was, and you both had separate answers.
Yeah, but they were both right.
Right, mm-hmm. Proving my point.
Yeah. So
continue, Alex.
You still didn't know what the thong song was, dude.
I still don't know what that is.
I'll never let that one be lived down.
I don't even remember. I don't even remember you mentioning that.
Isn't that weird to you, Alex, that he's never heard of the thong song?
I probably have heard it. I just don't know, like, I don't know it as the thong song.
I'd probably be in the same place. Like, I can't think of the melody right now, but I feel like if I pulled up a YouTube
thong,
video,
thong,
I'd be like,
thong,
oh.
Thong, let me see your thong.
I don't know if I know this one.
I've never heard that song before.
Oh, Jesus.
I didn't walk. Okay, I'm going to stop.
I've got no words for you guys.
Hey, we didn't all grow up on Long Island, okay?
You didn't have to grow up on Long Island.
With the hippin' and the hoppin' and the bippin' and the boppin', okay?
The bippin' and the boppin'.
Yeah.
But the character designs are very anime club, is how I would describe them. Like I feel like when I've done some anime club sort of sessions in high school, and it feels like the way these kids are dressed is kind of how sometimes people at anime club dress. like it's a little over the top and anime like, and although there's some really inappropriate dressing in here that I'll tell you guys about offline, but it's like really weird. like there are some people in this game that are like uncomfortably underdressed.
I can't even imagine that in a Japanese game.
And functionally it makes no sense. Like, this character has, like, pants around her waist, but, like, the front is way too low, and it's very uncomfortable, but the character designs are whatever.
Sounds like a Justin Nation type game.
Yeah, so that
you
part's
know what?
That.
Maybe the reason our audio got last time is because we literally,
karma.
Like, we're making fun of Justin Nation for half of it.
I mean, we do
not
that
making
a lot
fun of him.
We do that quite a bit,
just
though.
Calling him a pervert.
So it's like it's stylized, it's colorful. There's like rap rock playing on the background. Very anime, very Kingdom Hearts Nomura style looking. That anime story I described, and everything's done on the touchscreen. So you tap to move your characters in this. It looks isometric, where like you're looking down and from the side on a character at the same time. Like it has that kind of sort of camera, and it's very much a DS game where you're tapping to move characters around in this sort of top down world. And the combat is all tap based, like DS combat.
Tap, 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 tap
would be, and there aren't really cutscenes obviously, cause it's a DS game. It's just really high res art, that is voiced, presumably with better voice audio than back then. And the characters are a little whiny, but the story's pretty good, and the combat's decent. As for the touchscreen thing, it's definitely not how I would prefer to play this. Just because it's not on the DS, the touchscreen's way bigger. The battles in the original game took two screens and cut it down to one for the Switch release, so it's a lot of it's more compact, so it's different. And you can tell that they're making some compromises in order to make the game more functional. So it's a little awkward to play. But the story has engaged me up to this point, And I have a stylus from when I bought the European version of the Switch Brain Age a year or two ago.
And yeah, that works good.
That works really good. It like for these touch only games, the stylus works really well for me. So
totally,
and that made it better. So mm-hmm. I guess at this point I'm like,
you gonna buy it?
Well I have the this is the original The World Ends With You.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, that's right. Yep.
This is the final remix version of the original World Ends With You. I don't know much about the sequel other than it's in 3D and it does some different combat. And I don't know how different it is from this game. But my impression is like, it's 15 hours. This is a beloved game. I'm interested in the story, even though the designs are weird and Kingdom Heartsy, and some of the character designs were a little wacky and in an unpleasant way, but and I'm not like weird about this stuff. It's that I'm not weird about this stuff. Like I don't like Bayonetta. I don't care. It's just that it's these teenagers and it's really weird. And I don't really like it, but I'll
play it.
But I'll give it a chance. I mean, it's not as bad as I'm saying.
It's the best conversation I've ever had.
I'm actually, after we're done recording, I'm gonna send you a screenshot that I recorded on my Switch, and you tell me what you think.
I believe you, man. I all right.
But all right.
No, it's just. It's a mixed bag, as a reviewer in 2007 would say.
Yep.
So
2007, 2021. I love saying mixed bag.
Okay.
Or what is it? What's the one from the? What's the one that everyone made? Was it for Odyssey? What was the thing that everyone said? It was charming. It was
cute, charming.
What was that thing that everyone said? No.
Are you sure?
I'll remember it. I'll remember it.
Cutesy?
It was a joke. Cutesy it was boots? A joke. Like going, like everyone said the same thing.
So I'll probably stop playing, but
all right.
We'll see. And the game seems interesting. You know what? If you're a fan of The World Ends With You, send your opinions in to TNP at NintendoWorldReport.com. We will probably not read them. But Perry and Casey will forward them to me, and I will know what your opinions are.
They have
to read them.
Why or not? We'll read them. Or we'll read them. I don't know.
Heck yeah.
Anyways, that's The World Ends With You Final Remix. Interesting game, DS game, better controls, some weird art.
There you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Scabbing
all right.
Boot. All right, all right.
All right.
So all is right. That it? Are we done?
All right, all right.
Well, I had...
How
I
long
had this episode topic, but if we can save this for next week.
Yeah, because I was going to say, how long is your bit for your other games? Like that?
What do you mean?
That you like
oh,
cut
right.
up and sent to Perry?
Oh, those are like 12 minutes. But I
well, that
I
means
honestly,
that'll put us like at an hour and a half, so we could you know save that for next week. I think would be good.
But this episode topic of full new or whatever upcoming Nintendo games, we can just do that one next week.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yep.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool. We should probably close the show then.
Cool. Balin. It's always coming
yeah.
for you.
So okay, the last thing I want to do before we close out the show, I want to know where you guys are with Balin Wonderworld, because in episode 253, I'm going to have expected that you have crossed the credits in Balin Wonderworld, and we are doing a 1 hour minimum spoiler cast
oh
on
my
it.
Goodness you are a masochist
excuse me
that's the punishment that we clearly established
yeah but it's a little weird when you're doing the punishment with us.
I don't like it. Yeah. Null and void,
you know. It's like I don't like this.
I
it's
can't
like
trust
your,
you.
It's like your world ends with you, you know, clothing. I'm just kidding. You seem a little too excited by this, you know?
You know what? Okay, I can actually explain this. So, I'm not interested in actually punishing my friends unless it can create good content.
See, that's where you and I differ.
And I'm excited to create good content for the listeners.
I knew Perry would
that's
like that
so
one.
That's so funny. It's so good. Yes. No, I'm excited. I am at, I literally beat the first two levels. And after that, I've been too busy to play. And also, I just needed a break.
I've yet to play it, but I will be. Don't worry. Don't you worry.
Okay. I texted you this last night, I think. But, like, the two pieces of advice, and I'll say this for the listeners, too, who also, I'm also punishing them. They have to beat Balan Wonderworld by episode 253.
They're all like, okay.
The recommendation is play like a world a night. Because there's 12 worlds, and some of them are really bad, and they're all really weird. And if you do it bit by bit, the backtracking that you'll have to do later is less bad, and whatnot. And then the other thing is, once you're over the music, just put a podcast on and blast through some of this stuff. I'm on world 7, I think.
You're a monster.
That's amazing.
That would be amazing if at the end of my E3, if at the end of the E3 punishment, I'm the only one beating the game.
Yeah, it's actually Jordan, Perry, and I, like, we came together and we just said, yeah, we're not going to play this, and we're just letting him punish himself.
And then let me talk about it on the podcast at all.
We just like, no, that never happened.
Oh no! We do that. We do it, but I just don't edit it in.
Yeah, we let him. Just complete jerk
just
bags.
No, we're gonna. Well, I'm excited to talk about the upcoming Nintendo games next week. So everyone, by the way, we have tons of listener mail as well. So we will be getting to that next week. Send us some listener mail. Anything you want, we will answer any single question. We won't deny anything, at all, unless it's about The World Ends With You clothing, but we'll just, you know, we'll just censor that.
We'll just forward that somewhere else.
Yeah, but send us an email. It's at TNP. What's that?
Talk Nintendo Podcast at Nintendo, or no, it's TNP at NintendoWorldReport.com. I thought you were asking what TNP stood for.
That is true. No, I'm glad we got the full context now. Yes, yeah. It does stand for Talk Nintendo Podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can either write the whole thing out. In fact, you know what? It's been a long time since we've done the old email jingle. Alex, have you heard
that'll
the
be
email
sure to
jingle?
Pad out the episode.
I don't think I've heard the email.
Oh, I can't
jingle.
Wait to. I gotta send it to you.
Okay.
It's great. Anyway, please send us an email and we'll get to it. And other than that, I guess, Alex, are we gonna? I mean, going into your spiel. I mean, I probably just edited it in before.
Yeah, it would make more sense. I think.
I just said like I would just say like after
I'll do
the
it right
show.
Before you quick bites.
Okay, so you don't want to do it at the end?
Nah, that's kind of it's fine.
Nah.
We can do our outro.
We'll
do our outro.
Don't edit a single thing.
We'll do our outro and then end the show rather than do our outro and then
putz around.
And then do Alex's edited together segment.
I don't even know what is episode and what's not episode.
We
need right
a
now.
Like every episode will end with a monologue of Alex.
It's all in. I'm not editing anything out.
Yep. Yep.
And hey, Jerry, stretching time.
You're a picklehead. You know what also rhymes with
anyway.
Picklehead?
Dicklehead?
You dicklehead.
You know what's going on right now? This is what it sounds like to record a really good podcast on Tuesday and have to come back for a podcast on Friday. That is everything that you've heard this episode.
Yep, and then and like we're talking about like, yeah, maybe we'll do a nice short episode, a nice easy edit for Perry since he'll, you know, it's already behind schedule because of his computer and everything. And then now we're just rambling and bambling and like making it even more hard and difficult to edit.
Sounds like Cassie.
So we just keep on talking.
Doesn't everyone get these emails?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just advertisements for Perry and rambles. That's all this episode is.
Yes.
That's what the people want.
Yes.
And it's funny that the impermanent episode of the podcast will never end.
Yeah. What is impermanency? Who knows?
I really should just like loop like a bunch of music at the end so this episode's 10 hours long. The thong, I'm going to loop Casey singing the thong song.
Let me see your thong. I can't believe you guys.
All right, we'll see y'all next week. All right.
P-O-D.
Thong. T-H-O-N-G.
Patreon.com/P-O-D.
Yeah.
Is that Puddle of Mud's?
Oh, no. Everyone's going to start supporting P-O-D, the band. I hope they have a Patreon.
All right. That would be amazing. Let me see what I just linked to. So Perry's game gets 3 snaps, and when I have a game, it just I need to be used.
Well,
to
here's
this.
The thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
We There's have the no quick Perry originals jingle. In Fuser.
So, do you know that we have a segment called Quick Bites?
So Quick Bites is not just an offhand thing I can say. It's an actual formal segment concept.
It's an actual segment with an actual jingle.
Yeah. Who do you think we are?
Quick Bites.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. So in the event of Quick Bites, it's a little different. Sometimes we play the song. Sometimes we have this separate little jingle that we play for each game that you talk about. But
oh, okay. Yeah. So am I doing
so
Quick
you know.
Bites right now? Is that
you
what
are,
I'm doing?
Yes, absolutely. You brought us in here, boy.
And I got to get us out.
And you got to
Yep.
And let me ask you something. Oh, do we snap or do we not snap?
No, we snap.
So we snap, even on Quick Bites.
You snap on Quick Bites. It's that first one that like it's
see, if you're going for a Quick Bite, that's like literally like, hey, I've got a Quick Bite. We do the Quick Bite jingle, and then I'd be like, yeah, I've been playing some more Final Fantasy 14. You know, it was fun. I did this and did that. You know, we spend maybe 30 seconds, move on. And then be like, oh, yeah, I also played some, Smash Ultimate. And it was cool, too, to check out a few new characters. Nothing crazy there. You know, same old, same old. And that's the end of Quick Bites. You're doing more like, you're still doing what you've been doing. You just mislabeled them as quick bites, is essentially what happened here.
Okay.
See, this goes to show that Casey doesn't listen to the podcast very much, because there is a jingle that we have, a small little jingle for every single quick bite, but they're not the actual soundtrack from the album. They're just little things to separate the things.
I guess when I edit it, I just do one old quick bite.
Yeah, it just depends on how big the quick bites are. You know what I mean?
For like, real quick updates more so than on anything else.
Yeah, but very rarely are they 30 seconds. Normally it's like 2 minutes.
Yeah, but I guess.
Just normally.
Yeah, I don't know.
Casey's pretty good at keeping them small.
Well, because, you know, I respect the integrity of the name.
Hey, quick is relative. Okay?
Exactly. And I guess.
Yeah, 30 minutes is relative to the grand scope of reality. So
it is true. Yeah, but, our existence is pretty quick, too, really.
It is. Yeah, we're just a smear on the Earth. Windshield of the system.
Jesus.
Truly, we are all impermanent guests.
All right, sorry, we didn't mean to defuse.
No. This is where the gold comes from. The world
Truly
ends with
we
you.
Are all impermanent. Is impermanent a thing? Did you say impermanent?
Impermanent, not impermanent.
No, impermanent.
Let's check Merriam.
Is that a word?
I think
friend
it is
of the show Merriam-Webster,
not permanent. Life has value precisely because it is transient and impermanent. Is the logo, like the sentence they use it in?
Really? Temporary guest. Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, and it says similar, temporary, non-permanent.
Wait. Hold on. What is the line they say?
It says life has value precisely because it is transient and impermanent.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. I just typed
That's literally what we were saying.
Yeah.
I used the correct word. What
yeah,
can
you
I
did.
Say?
You used it as correctly as possible.
Beautiful. They don't call the most beautiful boy in Boston for nothing.
No.
Aww.
No, they don't. Wow. That's crazy.
Friend of the show, Oxford Dictionary.
Oh, I thought you were
going to
say friend of the show, Alex Kalafi.
Yeah.
I'm getting reduced further and further. Enemy of the show, Triple B.
Yeah, we just hang that over your head for any time you do something we don't like. But you peon.
Now he's
scum of the earth.
Yeah. Guest of the show, is it Alex?
Alex, the guest, pond scum, is joining us this week. Isn't
yeah,
it
guest of the show, Alice.
Scum?
Alice.
Okay. Anyway, right. What all game?
Right. The World of
Tsushima
was done. I'm just kidding. I was gonna say, speaking of buns.